This morning we're going to get into the Word, and it's going to be somewhat abbreviated, but that's okay. We can do that. So, Lord, really need to, I need to speak only what the Father is saying. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That you would very, very much direct me in every word. Nothing would fall away. Nothing would be of no use. It would all be exactly correct. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in the spirit of, I can barely shift gears to preaching now. In the spirit of our evening of drama last night, we're going to ask a few people to be very dramatic in their reading. And so I need you to be dramatic in your reading. I was reading again the story of Lazarus, and it occurred to me that this is a drama. This is a one-act drama. This is a life and death, and it's powerful, and I didn't have to change a word to adapt it to us being able to read it with narrator and with voices for those who are playing those parts. So how about, Judy, you could be Martha, okay? All right. And will you be Mary? I think you said that the other day. You said, I could be Mary. And Jesus over here, he's like Jesus to me. So I think that would be good. Now, I need some Jews. There's some Jews. We're all spiritual Jews, by the way, so there's no getting around it. There you go. You're Jewish. This morning, you're Jewish. Shalom. You're Jewish. All right, and then some disciples. Well, here's one just now. You're a disciple. Would you be a disciple? And you could be a disciple. Yes, and one more disciple. Lawrence, why don't you be a disciple? You two can wrestle over it. You can. There you go. Yep, Yvonne's a disciple. That'll work just fine. Now, I'm going to do the narration, and John has the words, the he said, the she said, the they said, and he'll project them up as we go along, amazingly, right on time. It'll be tricky. Now, and I'll be the narrator. This is great. You can follow along in John 11, verse 1 through 46. Yeah, there's some reading here, but it's a drama. It's great. The way it was written is perfect. It lends itself to this way of doing it. So if you're Jesus, your letters are in red. Red letter. In fact, that's very biblical. Whenever we read in the Bible, a lot of Bibles will have red letters, and the red letters are the Jesus words. And then if you are Martha, your letters are in green. Go Martha, because she's a going kind of gal. And then Mary, she's purple, because she gets it. Mary is, she's already royalty. She just loves to be at the feet of Jesus. And the disciples, sometimes they were yellow. So they're yellow. And the disciples will, whenever it comes to, and the disciples said to him, and then you see something in yellow, say it out loud. Just say it out loud in the same sort of timing as I'm reading as your narrator. And Thomas, I didn't get a Thomas. We're going to ask, Murray, you're also Thomas. You have a bonus job. You're not only a disciple, you're specifically Thomas. So when we get to the, and the Thomas said, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said, and then you'll read that part, okay? On top of, you got two jobs. Oh boy, you can handle it. You've been doing that for years. The Jews are in blue. Those blue Jews. Okay? All right, here we go. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 11 of John. And when it's your turn, I'd even like it that you'd stand up and say your words so that we can all hear. Project it. You're in the drama. Now, a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying,
"Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick."
You almost got that right. So we'll try that again. No pressure, I guess, right? Just calm down. It's okay. He's just sick. He's not dead yet, Martha. All right. So the sister sent word to him saying,
Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.
Thank you. But when Jesus heard this, he said,
this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in him.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
let us go to Judea again.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's in red. That's right, he should have said that. The disciples said to him, disciples,
Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?
And so Jesus answered,
are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.
This he said, and after that he said to them,
our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep.
But the disciples then said to him,
Lord, he has fallen asleep. He will recover.
Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.
Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples,
let us also go, so that we may die with him.
Oh, that's awesome, Thomas. So, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus,
Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Jesus said to her,
your brother will rise again.
So Martha said to him,
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
And Jesus said to her,
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
She said to him,
yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world.
When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly,
the teacher's here, and he is calling you.
And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed after her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she said she saw him and fell at his feet, oh, sweet, saying to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said,
where have you laid him?
And they said to him,
Lord, come and see.
Oh, nice. And Jesus wept. And Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying,
see how we love him.
But some of them said,
could not this man who opened your eyes and went blind have kept the man also from dying?
Good. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now, it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said,
remove the stone.
Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him,
Lord, by this time there'll be a stench. He's been dead 4 days.
But Jesus said to her,
did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come forth!"
The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I believe this. I believe this. I mean, when I say, do you believe this? Do you believe the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe it to be true? Do you believe it to be absolutely accurate? Do you believe it to be anointed? Do you believe it to be heaven sent, written by the hand of God Himself? Do you believe that the Word is the, in fact, living Word of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Jesus makes this amazing statement in verses 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Then he followed it by asking this very simple but profoundly consequential question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I mean, it begins with this condition. He who believes shall. So rightly asking at the end, do you believe? Do you believe this? Do you believe me? Do you believe all of which has been said? Do you believe? Are you a believer? I mean, Jesus' friend, whom he loved, had just died a few days ago. 4 days ago, he had been buried. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And some suggest that because both Mary and Martha say exactly the same words and share the same thought, really, they've been talking about this, and of course they have. Where's Jesus? Why isn't he here? I mean, they have been consoling one another and have been distraught over the loss of the brother whom they love. I mean, this is sweet. This is two sisters and a brother who genuinely love each other. Unlike some relationships in family that are strained, this one is not. This one is beautiful. This is great. This is a brother and two sisters who love each other. And he has been suffering and then died. Where's Jesus? I mean, we know he is able to do all things beyond that which you can even ask or imagine. All things are possible. He is the Lord of the impossible. We heard that this morning. He is God of the impossible. Where is he? Surely he knows. They even sent message to him, and he would have had time to get there. It had arrived 2 days earlier. Where is he? Where is God in all of this? Why isn't he hearing us? Why isn't he doing something? Why isn't he here? Some would suggest that Mary and Martha are quite consoled by this idea that Jesus could do something. But I suggest they're pretty upset. I think they're very, very upset. "Jesus, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead." That's what I get from this. I think that's what you get from this. But that's up to you. And then later, when the Jews, they say, "Could not this man," they're not calling him the Son of God, "could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" Couldn't this Jesus, I mean, he's done some amazing stuff. He's brought sight to the blind and the lame, they walk, and the paralyzed are healed. Lepers are cleansed. Well, maybe death is too much for him. You know, but maybe, couldn't he have? If only he had been here. I would say the consensus is unanimous. Jesus could have done better. That's what I'm hearing from these people in their pain, because that's their view. That's their view. That's their perception. Somebody said perception is reality, and their perception is wrong. Perception is not reality. Reality is reality. Perception is a point of view. And your point of view may not be correct. You may only get part of the picture. God has a better view. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts altogether better than our thoughts. We have it all figured out. Who hasn't prayed with the answer already in their minds? Lord, if you would just do this. I mean, if you would, here's my prayer, here's the problem, here's the situation, God. If you just did this and this, there it is. I've already told you how. Goodness, this should be easy for you, Lord. You pray wrong. I pray wrong. And then Jesus spoke to her and said these wonderful truths. And she said, she knows. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I've heard you say all that, Jesus. I get it. And I actually believe it, Lord. I believe it. That, yeah, in the end, we will all rise. In that end day, in that glorious resurrection, we will all be caught up with you. She's already there in that faith. That's awesome. But Jesus says something more, something that hasn't been said up till now. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh, this is a lot to take in. What an incredible statement. Please don't think this is a small thing. This has never been said before. Who could make such a claim? This only God could say such a thing. The Son of God can say such a thing. Wow. This is incredible. And there they are. They are standing at the cemetery where they had laid their beloved brother in the ground 4 days ago. Oh, Lord. You'd been here. Now you're saying this. I'm even all the more confused. And if we believe, we will never die. But he died. What is this? This is almost an offense at this. This is hard to take in. This is hard to accept. Do you believe this? How should Mary respond? Well, she believes, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ. The Christ, that's not his last name. The Christ is the anointed one. This is the one who was prophesied in so many times by so many prophets over so many years. This is the Christ, the Messiah. This is the one for whom we have waited. It is Jesus. He's here. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Oh, she's got it. Do you believe this? I believe this. In fact, my life depends on it. My eternal life depends on it. My very soul depends on it. I believe it. And sometimes when I have trouble believing it and seeing God in the midst of my trials and tribulation, I believe this. I insist I believe this. I must believe this. I will believe this. And when doubt comes in, God help my unbelief. I believe this. I will believe this, and I believe this. Then, if you believe this, and you do, you're here. We agree. You do well. You do very well to invite Jesus into your everyday, and especially into your major life event. Whether it's the birth of a child as you dedicate that little one, or a wedding as you make promises and vows to one another and two becoming one and invite Jesus to your wedding. I say that every time I'm asked to officiate a wedding. I say you do well to invite Jesus to your wedding. Of all the honored guests that you thought to invite, you do well to invite Jesus. Really, really, really. Inviting Jesus into your celebration will bring so much blessing. I would suggest he should be first on the guest list. Honored guest. Given the highest seat. The best honor at these events. When you invite Jesus into your sorrow, into your sickness, and even into your loss, your pain, into death, you do well, because he brings mercy and comfort. I know. I've been there. He brings peace and assurance. He brings hope and strength. Did you see how Jesus was moved with compassion by the tears? He was moved by their tears. He was moved by their love for their brother. So much so, it says Jesus wept. God wept. Yeah, he cares. Oh, he cares more than you know. His heart is for us. Oh, he loves us. And when your heart was broken and is broken, loved one, when the loss of that precious, his heart was breaking for you. I assure you. I assure you. Can you imagine that we move the heart of God? Is it any wonder that your heart is moved by God? Of course it is. We're in that kind of a relationship. Wow. You do well to invite Jesus into your everyday. He wants to be invited. In fact, it says, I stand at the door and knock. I'm right here. Let me in. Let me in. You do well to know Jesus, not just a passing knowledge of him, but a true, intimate, and growing relationship. It's more than friendship. It's more than fellowship. It's family. It's wonderful. This family, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they knew Jesus very well. Each of them had a personal relationship with their Lord. This is why they could say, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. That was the message they sent. The lady said, behold, the one whom you love is sick. And Jesus knew who they're talking about. Oh, not just because, well, I'm God, I know everything, by the way. You know. No, he knew it was Lazarus. He knew, the one whom I love, Lazarus. You also are the one whom he loves. You are sincerely the one whom he loves. And when he's never, you are who? Who are you again? Of course not. He knows you. He so knows you. He knows you more than you know you. He knows the very hairs of your head. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. He is the author and the finisher. He is the creator of you. And if God created you and God created you good, yeah, he is the maker. He is the maker, and he loves you. He is your maker. You do well to know Jesus. And then you can be honest with him. Believe me, you can't not be honest with Jesus. You can't trick him or hold something back. Well, I'm not about to tell you how I really feel. Today, you know, I'm just, no, how am I? I'm fine, God. I'm good. No, I'm not. I'm terrible. You can't hide. He knows your heart. You can't hide anything from it. You might as well just be honest with yourself. That's what Mary and Martha were doing. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you in my pain? Where were you in our need? You didn't show up. Go ahead and be honest with God. He already knows. You can't put on a brave front and say, oh, it's all good. It's all good. Be honest. And you can be, because he loves you like that. And he wants you, of course wants you to be honest with him. And if you have that kind of relationship with him, you can and you must. And finally, you do well to trust Jesus for all his worth. And he's worth your life. He's worth everything. Oh. So that you can say, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. I'm believing you. I am believing you, and I believe you, and I will continue my whole life long. Oh, I believe you. And then Jesus said, remove the stone. And this lady who had said, I believe in you. Oh, I believe your every word. I believe you are the Christ. I believe you are. And you say you're the resurrection. I believe in you. And then he says, remove the stone. And she goes, oh, Lord, you really shouldn't do that. Bad idea. No, I mean, if you'd have been here 4 days ago, that'd have been great. Too late. Too late. You can't remove the stone. In the old King James Version, if you've got it, it says, Lord, he has been in the ground 4 days. I fear he stinketh. I still like that. He stinketh. You just can't make that sound pretty. Even in a poetic old English, oh, Lord, I fear he stinketh. But hither you may open the tomb. Oh, but Jesus said, didn't you just say, I believe, and did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Trust me in this. When it doesn't make sense, when you think I'm too late, when you think I've failed you, trust me in this. When it doesn't make sense, trust me in this. When it doesn't fit your perception, trust me in this. When it's not the answer you asked for, trust me in this. You say you believe in me, believe in me. That's very real. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Is it not written? That's what he's saying. It's the same thing as, is it not written? Or have you not heard? Which is written all over the scriptures, by the way. For those who doubt, those who question, those who just aren't quite there. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to. I need to. Did I not say? So be honest. You can even tell Jesus about your doubt, your pain, your confusion. When doubt sneaks in, the remedy is the Word of God. Your fear is broken with faith, with truth. Every lie is disintegrated. The authentic proves the counterfeit wrong. It's just, we need the Word of God. Did I not say? Get into the Word of God so you can answer, yes, I've read that. I've seen that. You said that. Otherwise, when he says, did I not say? Is it not written? Have you not heard? You go, I don't know, maybe, possibly. That sounds right. Be careful, because Satan's good at saying things that sound right. So close, but not. And a word here and a twist there, and it changes its meaning entirely. A single word. And Jesus is God. Jesus is a God. One little letter changes the whole meaning. So when you're in doubt, when you're in peril, when you're in pain, when you're confused, when it just trust and obey, we sing. Trust and obey, there's no better way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. It is my experience that you do well to invite Jesus. You do well to know Jesus. You do very well to trust Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, wow. Thank you for your word this morning. And each of us need to consider that question. Do you believe this? Martha said yes. And then her faith was tested almost immediately. And glory came down. Our faith became sight in that moment. And Lazarus, we can't forget. With a word, Lazarus was raised from the grave. Just as Martha made her great confession, Jesus, we too must make our own confession. She believed, and her faith was quickly proven. If we believe in the same way that she did, we don't necessarily expect to quickly have the same result. But that power, that glorious power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that was demonstrated in the resurrection of Lazarus, is for us. that same authority, that same power is for us. And in that last great day, we too will leave the cemetery. We too shall rise, and you will call each one of us, come forth. And we, the faithful, shall be with you forever. Lord, thank you. I believe. We believe. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing about this friend of ours. In fact, how right to say, what a friend we have in Jesus. There it is. Let's sing together in closing and then go our ways.